Hey everybody, this is B. Jermyn, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to this 23rd and final edition of my 2017 Myth Audio Reviews. And for this one, for this very final one, I will be reviewing the revenge thriller In the Fade, and as well as the outrageous period comedy The Little Hours. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is In the Fade. And the plot summary for this film, which I'm reading off the Myth Program Guide, is as follows. Dynamic Turkish-German director Fatih Akin, if I butchered a name, please forgive me, returns with a morally charged thriller with Kasia, Diane Kruger, a Hamburg woman whose life is destroyed following the death of her husband and young son in a barbaric bombing attack. Tracing Kasia's struggle from shell-shocked, suicidal drug user to empowered individual fighting for justice, Akin rekindles the edgy intensity of her early work while firing off some provocative and timely questions about our political response to terror attacks. Kruger, meanwhile, in a rare German language performance, is shattering, inhabiting a tough role with fierce emotional resonance. Now, In the Fade was one of those films, like, I knew it premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, and one of the reasons that it was on my to-see list was because of Diane Kruger's performance, because at the Cannes Film Festival, she won the Best Actress prize. And the film is, and I'm actually am a fan of Diane Kruger, which is kind of funny when I was thinking about it the other day, because when the very first thing I saw her was in the Wolfgang Petersen's film Troy, and even though she was absolutely gorgeous in that film, but I didn't really think much of her as an actress, but over the years she's definitely grown as an actor and putting in nothing but stellar performances, whether they're be in English language films or films in Europe. She just always provides really strong work, and that was one of the main reasons why I was kind of drawn to check out In the Fade. And also kind of the mixed reaction it's gotten from a lot of people. I've heard things that it's really great to it's like it's actually pretty bad. So, but to me, that is what drew me to the film, because to me the most interesting films are the ones that sort of divide audiences, and that it was. So I figured I was going to put this one on the list, and then see what it's like. Now, having seen In the Fade, I can definitely say right now I think it's a solid film, but there are things about it that don't quite work. But I will say this though, as you would expect, Diane Kruger gave such a phenomenal performance. This is definitely up there as one of her best turns of her career. She is absolutely fantastic from the very first scene to the very last, and it's such a really interesting and complex and layered performance as well, because there are times where we are with this character from the very beginning to ending, and we kind of see what happens to her as the story goes along. And one of the things I really like most about the film is that it is a revenge thriller, but at the same time, it kind of slightly takes a different approach to that, because the film is split up into three chapters. Because we got the first half where her husband and son are killed, and sort of the ramifications of that, of like her falling into depression, but falling into drugs. Then you got the second half, which is sort of about the court case, and the third act, which of course is her setting out to take revenge, and I like that the film kind of each one feels like its own little movie, and I thought that was what I found quite most interesting about the film. And also the film at times is also quite intense and very provocative, and it's quite a topical film as well, because the bad guys in the film are actually neo-Nazis, so it gives the film a very timely feel, especially with everything that's happening in the world in regards to racism and neo-Nazis being in the news. And that I found quite interesting, and the film sort of tackling sort of terrorism from neo-Nazis, which again, sort of gives the film a very relevant feel to it. And like, it also is very well directed. There are some really intense moments and some pretty strong performances. But at the same time though, like, I guess it does at times do, even though there are some, how it's sort of structured is very interesting, but it does kind of fall sometimes into the sort of revenge thriller formula. Like, if you've seen all other ones before, you kind of know exactly where this story is going to go, like, from the beginning to end. Although, I will give the film credit, though. Like, where it goes in the third act is definitely not... is at least sort of takes a different approach to that in the third act in regards to, like, some by sort of offering some really interesting themes at the core of what the character of Katja is going through. So I give the film credit for that. But at the same time, though, it just sort of, at times, it just feels like it sort of sticks to kind of the formulaic kind of contriving cliches of the revenge thriller genre. So, but it has that sort of, like, you know, prestige sheen to it. So if I had to give the film a rating, I give it a solid 3 out of 5. Like, there are some strong aspects to it that I did like, particularly Diane Kruger's performance, which is the main reason why I think everyone should check out the film. But yeah, it kind of is just kind of formulaic as well, and didn't really offer anything too new. So, moving right along to my next film, which is the last one, and that, of course, is the sort of the outrageous period comedy The Little Hours. And the plot summary for this film, which I am reading off the Myth Program Guide, is as follows. Aubrey Plaza, Alison Brie, Dave Franco, and Nick Offerman tear up the Middle Ages in this raunchy and hilarious sex farce based on the Decameron. Specifically, The Little Hours adapts the first story of the third day of Giovanni Boccaccio's, I probably butchered his name, so forgive me, medieval collection of erotic, tragic, comedic, and didactic tales. A Black Death era Nuns Gone Wild, in which sisters Alessandra, Alison Brie, Fernanda, Audrey Plaza, and Geneva, Kate Micucci, I probably butchered her name too, so forgive me, are hella thirsty for their convent's new deaf-mute, but not really Gardner Macedo, Dave Franco. I probably butchered a couple of names there, so forgive me once again. I have to say, what makes The Little Hours very interesting to me as a film, or at least being one of my picks for MIFF this year, is that this was actually the very first sort of surprise screening that I actually added to my list. For those out there who don't know, MIFF has, during the after the first week of the festival, they always announce, like, a couple of surprise screenings for a bunch of films for the very last day of the festival. Usually there are a couple of films that have been sort of played earlier in the festival, especially sort of either high-profile ones or ones that have been sort of have been major talked about during the festival that so far. Or they're films that hadn't played in the festival at all, and they're just showing them for the first and only time on the last day. And The Little Hours was one of those films chosen, along with a couple of others, like Gemini, and I can't think what the other one was, so forgive me. So out of all those ones, I decided to pick The Little Hours. And I was kind of curious how this film was going to turn out, because one of the main reasons why I was kind of sort of somewhat apprehensive for this film, but still eager to check it out, is that the film was written and directed by Jeff Behner. And he previously wrote and directed the horror comedy Life After Beth, which also starred Aubrey Plaza. I saw that film at MIFF a couple years back, I think 3 years back, and to be honest, I really wasn't a fan of that film at all. I actually didn't like that film at all. So it was kind of interesting to see how his follow-up would compare. And it actually has a lot of the same cast from that film as well. Like, Aubrey Plaza's in there, Molly Shannon, John C. Reilly, they're all in this film. So I have to say, though, having watched the film now, I was really pleasantly surprised by it. I really enjoyed this one a lot. Well, first of all, this one was actually really funny, and the cast all did such a great job in their roles. Like, it is an incredibly silly, outrageous film in a lot of ways, because even though, yeah, it's set in the Middle Ages, and sort of the film sort of goes out of its way to be sort of accurate to that period, both the production design, the costumes, and even the score. Like, the score feel is exactly similar to like how music was played or done back then. But at the same time, the dialogue is just so very lowbrow and very modern and raunchy and sexy and foul that it just adds a whole interesting subversion to the whole film that I really liked a lot. And I mean, yeah, it kind of, the film is basically like, does have kind of a one joke kind of premise where it's just basically sort of seeing like about nuns being outrageous and raunchy, but and that's what is the film is. The film makes no buts. That is exactly what it's going for, but it does it really well, and it has a really funny script, and it's has a great cast. So I think that's probably one of the main reasons why I really liked the film as much as I did, was everyone in the cast did such a great job in their roles, and everyone sort of brought their A game in terms of how they tackled the humor of the film. Like, everyone just does it so well. Like, everyone has their own kind of way on how they approach it, and I just thought the film just did that, and I just felt that everyone did just such a great job, and everyone is hilarious in this film, and it helps they have a really funny script to work from as well. And also the production design is really well done, the costumes were really well done as well. I guess one of the only few negatives I would say about the film is that I feel like, compared to Life After Beth, which I feel like Jeff Boehner's direction here visually did feel a little flat, but I suppose that's kind of deliberate, since he was going kind of more of a 70s type feel, like, you know, films like The Devils and stuff like that, in the way that visually the film looks and how each shot is set up. But it doesn't quite have, but Life After Beth at least had a bit more of a style to it. And I kind of felt like The Little Hours kind of lacked that. But that being said, though, it's a really enjoyable film that's really funny. It is completely outrageous, and there are jokes in this which I honestly can't believe the film actually went there with. But it has a sort of A-grade name cast, a really funny script, and it's just really entertaining as well. And I think, and to me, this was the perfect film to kind of end MIFF 2017 on. It was just a really fun surprise that I'm really happy that actually turned out really well, because the last couple of years, like ever since I've been attending MIFF, most of the time the very last film I see at the festival ends up usually being a complete bust, and I usually dislike the film. But this is one of the rare ones that I actually really enjoyed it, and to me it was just a really fun way to end MIFF this year. So if I had to give The Little Hours a rating, I give it a solid 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed this film a lot. It won't be for everyone, but I really dug it a lot. So, yeah, that's it. That's the end of all my MIFF reviews for this year. I just want to say thank you to all those who have listened to all 23 editions of my MIFF reviews this year. I hope you all really enjoy them, and I hope that each one of them kind of gives you kind of an idea to, gives you kind of, get you interested in going to check out the films that I talked about once they get released. Because, I did see a couple of clunkers this year, but I saw a lot more great stuff this year, and I definitely recommend everyone to go check all those out, because I think you would all dig them as well. So, once again, thank you so much. I hope you all enjoyed every single one of these reviews, particularly this one. And also, on the article for this for this audio review, I'm also going to post my top 10 films from MIFF this year. So after, when you listen to this, go read that, and you'll know exactly what my 10 favorite films from this year was. So once again, thank you so much. I appreciate all of you for listening to all these audio reviews. And yep, I will be back doing them next year. I can't wait for MIFF 2018. I don't know what's going to play next year, because it's way, way, way too in advance. But I know it's going to, like every other year I've gone to MIFF over the past couple of years, it's going to be just an absolute ball for me as a film fan. And I honestly cannot wait. So once again, thanks guys. Thank you for enjoying all these audio reviews, and I'll see you all next year. See you guys. Bye.